Today on Real Life Radio.
Worrying is assuming something to yourself that you were never supposed to be concerned with. We've just become accustomed to it. Stop and pull back and know that God moves in the impossible.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Stop, Part 1. You know, when we stop to look around us, the church in the U.S. is in danger of becoming powerless in our witness for Christ. We're showing signs of battle fatigue, and if we don't get refueled, we not only lose our focus, we'll have very little effect on moving our country back to God. You see, God is not willing that any of us should perish without hope. Salvation is for all who repent of their sins and accept Christ as their Savior and Lord. But socialism, communism, and Marxism, they're all on the rise in America, and our culture is departing from dependence upon God and His Word. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as true believers in Jesus Christ, we are invincible. Until we leave this world, we're not crippled by fear. To stop and remind ourselves to be strong and to be of good courage, for the Lord is with us everywhere we go. And now, in his message called Stop, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
For I have learned in whatever state, including California, I'm in, to be content. I know how to be abased. Stop right there. Paul the Apostle is saying, hey, as a believer, I know how to handle seasons of prosperity. That's what Paul is saying. There's been times when I had more than enough. How did he do that? Paul lived the same way if he had 2 denarii or 1 widow's mite. He lived the same way. It's beautiful. I know how to be abased. That's without. And I know how to abound. That's with. He says, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, now it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse means, listen, friends, grab this. It doesn't matter right now if in your life you are abounding or you are abased. If you can hardly rub 2 pennies together, or this has been the most prosperous year of your life. Listen, the bottom line is this: to walk with Jesus, understanding that God has us living and He works in the impossible. Listen, that He's got this taken care of. He tells us in the Bible not to worry. That's just not a cool saying. When you and I worry, we're doing something very, very wrong. And to prove it, because I know people who are big worriers, they get offended with what I just said. You mean worrying is wrong? That's ridiculous. I don't think it's wrong. The people who say that, they're the worriers. Yeah. And they worry because they think they can control the situation. Yeah. And even when they can't, they'll fool themselves by worrying and convince themselves that somehow they had their hand in the mix. Worrying is assuming something to yourself that you were never supposed to be concerned with. We've just become accustomed to it. Stop and pull back and know that God moves in the impossible. He really does. That's how you know the Word, is because God exists. Listen to this. I have a hard time. I'm going to read this to you. I can't even fathom. I actually almost hyperventilate when I think about this woman. This is terrifying. This is said by Helen Keller. Do you know who Helen Keller is?
Yes.
Please say yes, even if you don't. Please, just say, oh, yes. This is, and Ann Sullivan, her teacher. Both are miracles to me. I may be off, but I'll be close. Helen Keller had a severe fever when she was either 16 or 19 months old. She lost her sight, and she lost her ability to hear. At 19 months old, you cannot hear and you cannot see. Think about that for a second. That is a living prison. Just the thought of it, I'm not kidding you, just the thought of it causes me to, okay? You know what she said? Because you know, Ann Sullivan taught her how to write, taught her how to communicate. She said, the best and most beautiful things in this world cannot be seen or even heard, but must be felt with the heart. A woman who's blind and deaf said that. And I think I got problems. I'm having troubles right now. My computer's not working right with my printer. They're not communicating. Of course it's not, because I updated my computer to the next. Number three, we need to stop and know. And I love this one. We need to stop and know, friends. Pull back from the edge. We just need to stop and be reminded and know that he's going with us. He's going with you. He's going with you. God told Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm not going. If you knew Nineveh, the Ninevites, you would know why Jonah said that. Adolf Hitler and Eichmann and all of his team studied the Ninevite tactics. You know, listen, you think making lampshades out of human skin was a Nazi idea? They studied that from the Ninevite Empire because the Ninevites used to do that with Jews. So when God told Jonah, go tell the Ninevites, Jonah knew something. He knew something about the nature of God. You know what? Because the message was this, go tell Nineveh in 40 days, they're going to be destroyed. And Nineveh, that's the message God told them. You would think, with all that the Ninevites had done to the Jews, that Jonah would have said, that's it? 40 days and they get fried by you? Okay. He would have ran straight there. Hey, guess what, you bunch of losers? 40 days and you fry. Lights out. You know what, Jonah, listen, God said, go tell them they're gonna, 40 days and it's over. Jonah, it's not even said in the text. Jonah, I'm not going. You know why he said I'm not gonna go? Because he knew the nature of God. There's a chance he knew if they repent, God's gonna give them mercy. I'm not going. So what does he do? He gets on a boat and he heads to Tarshish. He heads to Europe. He heads to Spain. That was the end of the world in those days. That was it. I'm going to go to the ends of the earth to flee from God. It's what he's thinking. And the Bible says God prepared a great storm. And the poor sailors, they're trying to spare Jonah's life. And finally, Jonah says, look, this whole thing, this whole storm, we're going to go down, we're going to sink because I'm running from my God. And they said, man, that's some God you've got. So we've got to save our lives. So off you go. Over you go. And Jonah goes over, and the Bible says God prepared a great fish. It wasn't a whale, my friends. Don't tell your kids that. But it wasn't a whale. The word in Hebrew is a fish. It was a big fish. Not a whale. That's a scary fish. It says God prepared it. Can you imagine? I need a big fish. Swallows Jonah. All because he didn't want to do what God said. And listen, all along the way, Jonah was trying to run from God. Jonah was with him the entire way. God was with Jonah the entire time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jonah's underwater in the belly of a big fish. And God is totally aware of it, and Jonah is totally aware that God is aware of it. He's with you. He's with you. Pull back from the edge of despair. He's with you. Slow down your breath. Take a deep breath. Relax. Understand, God can't leave me, and he's even with me right now. It's not like you ran away and you outran God. While you're running, you ran right into him. Listen, he's going with you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." God says this throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture, he says this. I'm going to give you another quote. I got a couple of them tonight. The Christian life is not a constant high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, "Oh God, forgive me," or "help me," said Billy Graham. That's an honest prayer. I love that. Number four, stop to know he will make you, listen, what's the word? Invincible. You see, come on. No, it's true, listen. Now look, when I say invincible, I like what George Whitefield says in his writings. George Whitefield said, "We are immortal until our work on earth is done." I believe that, by the way, with all my heart. I read that decades ago, and I believe it still now. I believe it now more than ever. George Whitefield said that. I believe it. Here's the thing. Stop, listen, pull back from the brink and know something, that God in your life is absolutely invincible until it's time for you to go home, to heaven. Think of it. He says, "Oh, is that real?" It's real. Jesus is our perfect example. In fact, Satan tried to use the scripture against him. Satan tried to quote the Psalms and messed it up intentionally. Do you remember when Satan told Jesus to throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple? Because the Bible says that his angels will give charge over thee, lest thou bear thy toe or beat or hit or stub thy toe on a stone. You know, Satan was misquoting scripture, but listen, Jesus was exactly living out the power of that psalm in life. And so should we. He is our prototype. He's the one that we should walk after and like. And it's this way. Until your life is finished by God's decree, you're invincible. Read the writings of George Washington. He understood that perfectly well. Listen, right now more than ever, we should probably end right here because this is so important. Our world is crippled and the church at large in America is crippled by fear. We do not believe that God's got this. We don't believe it. We really don't, by our actions, we don't believe that God really knows exactly what he's doing because this whole thing caught us way off guard. You say, "I would never say that." Good, but as a nation, or I should say as a church in America, the church at large, it's acting like that. Oh my goodness, this is so big. Throw your Bible out the window. This is huge. This is nothing. This is nothing. This is a warm up. Think of it. What are we gonna do? We're going to do what we've been trained to do, and that is stay in the Word. He will. Oh, it's so simplistic. Oh, it's not simplistic. It's simple, but it's not simple. When the bombs are going off around you and everything's exploding, and the temptation to grow weary, and you realize, wait a minute, I'm going to pull back from the edge. I would love, especially if the younger generation would actually believe that when the scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, listen to this. If you're young tonight and you're crippled by fear, and by the way, don't you think, people, that we've watched an entire young generation be hit so hard by fear, they're crippled, they're terrified. They're terrified and they're falling. Because listen, fear makes you believe things. This breaks my heart to say because it's so true, and yet the people I wanted to hear it the most won't hear it. That when fear gets inside of you, paranoia sets in, and it doesn't matter what anyone says, including God. This is overwhelming. It's over. I could go outside of my bedroom and get killed. No, really, people are living like this. Well, they're not living. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Take up his word, and when he says something that jumps off the page at you, grab it. You grab it. You write it down. Remember, well, no, you don't remember, but in the olden days, when we got in trouble in school, we would have to write out what we did 100 times. That's crippling today. You could probably get a lawsuit for that now going. But you grab that Bible verse and you print it out. Write it out if you want to, but print it out. Put a stick at places when you shave in the morning. It's right there. Or when you get in on your skateboard to your car, it's right there. Really, it's right there. Print it in reverse. Put it on your mask. Look in the mirror. You can read it. Fear not. Fear not. Joshua 1:5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And right now in our world, there is a demonic war for the souls of men and women and boys and girls that far, far exceeds the value, the cost, the expense, and the intensity of that battle in World War II right there. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. But when we pray and when we wait and when we read his word, we begin to feel it. Stop standing at the edge and looking over. Pull back. He is with you. He's not going to leave you. Don't let your heart be troubled. He will bring you comfort. Make sure you're focusing on him. Father, we pray tonight for healing. We pray tonight for your Holy Spirit's touch in each and every one of our lives. We pray tonight, Father God, that by your Holy Spirit, we would all walk away tonight encouraged that you are with us. You're never going to leave us. You know, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Is this real? It is real, forever real. But your Bible tells us that these are battles. The war has already been determined. But Lord, tonight I pray for those here, all of us, those viewing. We're all engaged in some form of a battle right now. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would magnify your presence in our lives, that you would pull back a young man or a young woman who's approaching the edge, Lord, of suicide. Minister to them, reach them, grab them, Lord. Pull them back from the edge. We pray, Lord, for the wife that has said, I've had it. That's it. Our love is dead. Love is over. It's gone. Lord, grab her heart. For the man who says, you know, it's just way more exciting to be with that woman or that newer version. And home life's just too serious. And Lord, grab him. Pull him back from the edge. So many pressures, so many things. Church, as we remain in an attitude of prayer, I want to read this right now to you because I promised this mom and dad, that we would take their prayer request home. And I want you to think about the situation. She says, hi, you guys. Hope you're both well. I'm not going to mention the child's name. Our baby had scans today. Unfortunately, they weren't good. Without going too much into detail, we are limited on time. We were given anywhere from 3 weeks to 4 months with her. I'm so happy for her and broken for me. On a lighter note, the clinic was able to get a rush wish come true for us and they'll be flying us as a family to Disney World this Sunday. Please join me in praying for a beautiful week for her and our family while we're there. Pray that we have no medical issues, and please join me in prayer for her to have a really smooth, quick, and painless transition into the arms of Jesus. Thank you guys for your love and for your support and for all that we've gone through for these last 4 years. Your baby girl has battled cancer for 4 years in and out of the hospitals. I honestly have lost track of how many surgeries and chemo that precious four-year-old has gone through. And today I encourage the dad that he had to muster all the strength that he could find to make these next few weeks or a month or so with her totally a blast, awesome. For him to pour himself out, make her laugh, tell her about meeting up with her again in heaven. I told him, lay aside your feelings. You can't think about yourself. You've got to minister now, right straight through to the end. I told him today, you've got to bless her body, soul, and spirit. Hug her a lot, kiss her, touch her a lot. And her soul, tell her, speak to her amazing things. Because you're her dad. No one can ever take your place. No one can say the things that you can. And then I said, minister to her in the spirit. Because when she crosses the street with Jesus, the next time you see her, she's going to celebrate your arrival in heaven. She's going to take your hand. And so do everything you can to celebrate her life. Let her see it. Make a big deal of it. You celebrate every day that you have with her and make her know, let her see celebration. I told him that she will love it, but it will do his soul well until he meets her again. So Father, we pray for that family that we as a church have prayed many times before. I pray that you'd cause them to stop and to pull back from the edge and to see reality. That heaven is for real. We'll be out of here soon. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, because he destroys the impossible. And we thank you that faith in him alone takes our hand all the way across the streets. We love you, God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Stop, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. Stop, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Pastor Jack said God's Word gives us both comfort and encouragement, especially during these chaotic and difficult times. But when it comes to reading the Bible, it's always best to have a plan. And that's where we come in. Simply download the Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet, and then go to the area marked Bible Plus Plan. And once you're there, you'll find a daily Bible reading plan, maybe even start right at the beginning in the book of Genesis. Select a verse or skip ahead if you'd like. You can also read along with the audio version for even better understanding. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store, or we've made the app available for downloading at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.